Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Balance, the only sports talk show that gives a well-balanced diet of sports. Host Tom Marquis and the gang are ready to break down this week in sports. This is the one place where fanatics can come together and talk about their favorite teams. The Balance brings you an analytical breakdown of sports from a fan's point of view. So sit back and get ready. It's time for The Balance.
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting it off.
I wish you could just shut your big yapper!
Time it is. That's right. You've reported to duty to the number one internet sports talk show in the world, and along with our affiliate radio stations. I'll tell you what, it is so good to have you along on a Saturday morning. My name's Tom Marquis. I am your fearless leader, El Presidente. I'm going to be guiding you through the past weeks of this crazy world we call sports. And we've got a lot to talk about. And we will get into some World Cup and USA, 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 soccer. Who would have ever thunk? The only sport in the world you can go to an elimination championship game or playoffs, we'll call it, and lose and still be able to move on to the next round. Well, that's exactly what happened to the good old U.S. of A, boys and girls. We'll get into that conversation as well. You know, we got a pretty good show for you. Of course, IndyCar back on the track out in Houston. Today, race number one of two. Simon Patajon on the pole for today. An exciting race it's going to be. And we're going to talk with you about Houston, the road course. And, yes, we are back with some IndyCar talk. Also, NASCAR talk, NASCAR down in Kentucky. Going to talk a little bit about that race, the big race preview myself. And that redneck from Philly, Kevin Chapman, will be joining in. And we'll be going to be breaking down all of the races from IndyCar to NASCAR. Also, we've got a pretty good guest that I'm kind of excited to talk with her. She is a very young and up-and-coming driver for the ARCA series. And possibly here soon we'll see her in the NASCAR series. And we're speaking of Erica Derica, who's going to be joining us at the top of the hour at 10 o'clock. And then, of course, you know, we've got the iPod Shuffle. And we've got you. 917-889-8516 is the digits to get to me. And the redneck from Philly, Kevin Chapman. It's a great day. It's Saturday morning. You know what? I am just glad that we can actually do our show today. It was just a few days ago, and I'm talking too close for comfort. I'm one of those guys that love a storm. I'll sit out there and watch it. I've always dreamed about being a storm chaser, but I don't want them knocking on my front door right here in Indianapolis, Indiana, just about a half a mile from the Balance Studios. Tornado touchdown. I was at down in downtown Indianapolis, and I got a text from Michelle Jones, our producer, social media director, who said, yeah, there's a tornado that touched down right over by the Balance Studio. You might want to get over there. I tried to get there, and every angle, every road was blocked off by the cops. It was craziness. Fortunately, we weren't not hit or hurt. You may have seen the Today Show doing a live shot the next day, and it was literally just a few blocks away. So a little too close for comfort. But we're here, and we're glad that we are here, and we're ready to get rocking and rolling. 917-889-8516 is my digits, and you want to call or, of course, tweet us at T-Balance. My name's Tom Marquis. This is The Balance on the Balance Radio Network. We'll be right back right after this.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
You know, after a long day here at the Balance Radio Studios, one of the things I like to do most is just to sit back, relax, and enjoy a nice cigar and a great cocktail. One of my favorite places to do that is Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mike and Tom have the setup for you there. I'm going to tell you what, they've got a walk-in humidor, cigars, pipes, tobacco, the way you like it. You like it mild, they got it for you. You like it strong and bold, they got something for you. They got a fully stocked bar with local drafts, a very relaxing lounge, a full-service kitchen with a delicious menu, monthly cigar tasting events. You can play Golden Tee for free. Bring your laptop, relax with a nice cigar and the cocktail the way you like it. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mr. B's Cigar Box is the place you want to go to unwind. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Very easy to find. 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. That's 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. 317-272-6900. The guys out at Mr. B's Cigar Box are waiting for you. What are you waiting for?
I'm J.B. Bernstein. I'm a sports agent.
Hey.
Who's that?
She's my neighbor. Not my type.
Why? Because she's not a model.
Yeah, stay away from that.
Right now, I'm on the verge of a huge break.
Without this deal, we're done. What's going on here? Don't tell me you signed a contract with these guys.
It's just business.
Guess what? We're out of money.
I mean, I don't know what else to do, JB.
Hey. How fast are they pitching cricket?
I think I cracked this. It's called Million Dollar R. We find the first Major League Baseball player from India.
Like being on the road?
Words cannot express.
Ray, how are you going to know if anyone can throw if you keep your eyes shut all day?
I can hear it.
Really?
Ah. That was about a 43.
Bingo.
We have our finalists.
Welcome to America, boys. Okay. All right, guys.
Who is that? Is she a servant?
She's a beautiful servant.
We can't train somebody who was never picked up a baseball. It's insane.
Okay, so how's it going?
Baseball is very hard.
This is Major League Baseball, not some social experiment.
You're not ready for this kind of pressure.
This is business.
It'll be a sideshow.
These guys are not ready for a pro tryout.
Their chances fall between slim and none.
Are you okay?
These kids, they're my last best shot.
But they're also just a couple of great kids.
Kids. I mean, they're far from home. They need to see that you care.
Wow.
This whole alternative family thing looks good on you.
Excuse this, partner.
Boom. We've got a major league tryout.
Are you messing with us?
No, I'm not messing with you. You got a tryout. All right, go ahead. Say it.
Did you kiss Miss Brenda?
No. She kissed me.
Oh! Oh, Jimmy! Yeah.
Why would these rivals risk everything? Each is driven to be the one. IndyCar. The one.
IndyCar welcomes Verizon to the heart of racing and is proud to announce the Verizon IndyCar Series.
Yeah, Houston, for us particularly, it's great. We have folks from Shell Pennzoil promote the race, actually a lot of people, and track is very challenging. Unfortunately, I didn't have very good memories because of we ended up not finishing the race, both races. But we're really looking forward this year to turn things around.
Houston, first time for me. I think you know, definitely plenty of the others had raced there at the previous versions of the Houston street track. Actually, I think I did back when it was around Enron Field, maybe way back. But yeah, no, it's definitely it's double headers for me. Always exciting. You know, I think when you can have two races on one weekend, you know, your focus changes a little bit from day to day. You know, just on what happened from the first day to what you can achieve on the second. But ultimately, it's like a double points paying race. If you've got a good car, it's a great weekend to make the most of it. But for the first time at Houston for me, lots of great fans and it was definitely some fun and exciting racing. Yeah, it's an exciting track actually. You know, it's definitely one of the bumpier places. You know, I think in the future they'll make some fixes to some of the track. But you know, it actually has a really good flow to it. You know, I think the IndyCar does a fantastic job around there as far as racing and a visual thing. But yeah, it's very physical. There's not much rest time. And then added, you know, that we're going in June or July, it's going to be extremely hot. To do the doubleheader is going to be pretty demanding, not just on the drivers but the teams as well.
Well, it's definitely a relentless track. You never get time to rest. I mean, there's no straights on it, so it's a lot of fun though. It's really cool street racing there, and you know, it's Shell headquarters there, so it's a big deal for our team. And this year it's going to be pretty, physically a tough race, just because it'll be very hot. But yeah, look forward to it. I think all the street courses we go to, it's pretty hardcore racing these days in IndyCar, so Houston will be like that.
All right, and there you have it. Some IndyCar drivers giving you the preview of Houston, and certainly going to be a good race out there at Houston. Simon Patijon hits the pole out there in Houston. Well, the guy who never hits the pole, never even hits the toilet seat, one, Mr. Kevin Chapman, that redneck Philly. How we doing, sir?
We're doing good. How are you?
Dude, I'm gonna have to teach you how radio and media works, man. When a countdown comes on, you go on the air. There is no stopping for anything. You go. If you don't go before you go after you go. But nonetheless, the show must go on.
Go on.
Must go on. Kevin Chapman, how we doing, sir?
We are doing good this morning.
Well, that's good. Nice of you to elaborate on that for us there.
Well, you know.
Yeah, you know, I was
all our secrets in the first 5 minutes.
I know, absolutely. We don't want to blow our load in the first 5 minutes, right?
Exactly.
But, you know, I was just talking about what a great show we have on store. But, you know, also on the other end, I'm just glad we're able to do this show. I was talking about it was an F1 tornado. So, yeah, it wasn't like a catastrophic type tornado. Although it had a lot of potential, we had a tornado right here that hit real close to the Balance Studios.
Well, that's the same tornado when it left us did actually some damage in two other places up north. So it wasn't huge, but it was a little too close to home.
That's what I'm saying. I love storms, but I don't want them knocking on my front door. That's for sure.
Exactly.
All right, well, let's get down. Let's get down and dirty. Let's get down to gritty. Let's get down. Let's get on the job site. Let's get to work. Houston, Simon Patijon drew a long breath after humid air. I tell you what, it gets hot in Texas. It gets real hot in Texas. And what you got to realize is these guys are in their fire suits. They're on a track that's about 120, 130 degrees Fahrenheit. But I tell you what, that didn't stop French driver Simon Patijon, who took the pole in the P1 position out of Indianapolis, out of Houston. The inaugural Grand Prix of Indianapolis also is what Simon Patijon won, is what I was trying to get at when I mentioned Indianapolis. And certainly going to be an exciting race. You know, this is a two-race weekend for IndyCar. They're going to be racing two races on today at 3 o'clock, And then also tomorrow afternoon as well at IndyCar. And so certainly we'll see what happens. Simon Patterson, like I said, is taking the P1 pole with a speed of 97.09. But the thing about it is it's a road course, guys. Let's not get too excited about, you know, okay, speeds at 97 miles an hour. It's a road course. And if you don't know what a road course is by now, stick with me, kid. I'm going to tell you, it's curbs, it's turns. Will Power, Ryan Briscoe, rookie Luca Felipe, Elio Castroneves, Mikhail Ashland from Russia, the henchman James Hinchcliffe, and Tomoko Soto, Sebastian Bourdais, and TK Tony Kanaan round out the top 10 for IndyCar out at the Shell and Pennzoil GP of Houston out at the NRG Park Stadium Circuit. Kevin Chapman, what are your thoughts on the IndyCar race, the 1.634-mile race out in Houston today?
Well, I mean, you got a race today, you got a race tomorrow, so you got to look at, you know, the drivers, like you said, with this heat and all. It's not just one day that they're going to do this race at. And last year, you know, Will Power won the second race. So we'll see who's going to come out and take this. You got, you know, Castroneves up there close, number two in points. Will Power, I can't even speak this morning.
Well, that's the way it always is.
Well, I know. Shut up. You know, he's nice, and then you got Ray, number 10, so... I was wondering when they have the races 2 days like this, you know, when they go into mindset of day one, for lack of better terms, which I know they do, they put everything out there, but at the same token, is their mindset, you know, okay, well, worst thing that could happen is we can work on the car today, and if we see we have a little miss here or there, we always have tomorrow to knock out a win.
All right. Well, we're going to see what happens. Certainly it's going to be a warm weekend out there in Houston as well. And certainly interested to see how that pans out with two races, especially with a hot weekend. So we'll take a look at this. I kind of take a look at the weather forecast. It's going to be partly cloudy and high in the upper 80s for both days. In the upper 80s, is might as well say in the upper 100s when you're in the fire suit and on the track there, Kevin. Race laps 90, and they'll run in a counterclockwise direction, which is the difference between that and the oval on the 1.634-mile 10-turn temporary street circuit. I like these street courses. They're pretty cool. What the heck was that, Kevin Chapman?
It's like coffee pot.
Dude, sounds like you have the same coffee pot I had last week, man. Okay, so here's an interesting thing, and I want to talk with you a little bit about this, Kevin Chapman. The standing start for race one, two wide rolling start for race two, single file restart. So let's start talking about the standing start. And they experimented with the standing start here in Indianapolis, and obviously the start was not like what they anticipated that it might be. As you look at a standing start, what are your thoughts for race one down there in Houston?
Well, I'm looking to see, is it going to turn out like here? I think being a road course, I don't think we're going to end up having some of the issues we had for here in Indianapolis. And this is the second one they're doing. So I think the drivers know a little bit maybe more going into it than they did. So, I don't think we're going to have the issues, but it's definitely going to be interesting on the road course to see are the drivers going to be able to anticipate that first turn coming up, or are we going to have another issue like we did here in Indianapolis?
Well, it's the Grand Prix of Houston, the Shell Pennzoil Grand Prix of Houston of the Greater Houston Honda deal there. So it's going to be I think it's going to be a good race. I like these road course races, and certainly you don't get a lot of speed that you would in a lot of other types of races, but I'm excited about it. The tires that they're going to be running is the Firestone primary tires are the same. They are the same construction and compound used out in St. Petersburg, Long Beach, and Belle Isle earlier this season, and the same alternate tires are being used on all street court races this season. So, obviously, when we talk about Ed Carpenter not going to be in the car, certainly Mike Conway's going to be in the car for the Fuzzy Bacchus car. And I tell you what, if you don't like Ed Carpenter for no other reason, Fuzzy's Vodka is the reason to like it. 2.2 liter twin turbo engines V6 supplied by Chevy and Honda. 150 kp turbo boost, road street course races, 160 kph for push to pass, 10 pushes for 15 seconds activation. It's like playing a little video game on the push to pass. Are you there, Kevin?
I am here.
Okay, it got real quiet on us. I wanted to make sure that. So, have you seen the push to pass? How that works?
I have. For the first time I ever watched it, I was watching the race, and they keep on talking about this. Well, it is 10 pushes to pass, and I gotta say, for the first time I ever watched it, I was confused the daylights out of me on the push to pass.
It's like playing a video game, only in real life.
I'd love to play that video game.
I tell you what, I wish we could be out here on 465 around Indianapolis and have those push-to-pass buttons.
I don't know if it's safe enough for us to have them.
I don't know. I think we're probably going to be used. Well, the green flag is today and tomorrow, 3:45 out there in Houston. If you want to listen to it on the radio in the United States, it's 3 o'clock on the NBC Sports Network. I'm sorry, if you want to watch it on television in Canada, it will be on Sportsnet 1 at 3 o'clock as well. And, of course, MRN Radio Network, if you want to listen to it on the radio. And here locally, it'll be on 1070, The Fan in Indianapolis. Welcome to all of our fans up on Indiana Talk Set. And listen to us all over the state of Indiana on our encore presentation that's going on right now between 1 and 3. Thank you so much for listening to us on Indiana Talk. And make sure you download their app through the App Store and Indiana Talks on Twitter as well. Qualifying for race 1, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Saturday, the Fast 6. And then race 2, 11 to 11:30 Sunday, and it'll be done in groups. And then that will also be on NBC Sports Network. Practice sessions were yesterday, and I had an opportunity to watch a little bit of that, and we talked about the speeds on that. Certainly the driver's meeting will be streamed on IndyCar 14 between 2 and 3, both Saturday and Sunday. And if you want more information on different time zones and where you can find it, all you've got to do is go to www.indycar.com. All right, Kevin, let's talk a little bit about the track out there in Houston. It's what we call a temporary street course, and it's the MD Anderson Cancer Center Speedway at NRG Park. It's 1.683 miles, and there'll be two races, 90 laps, 153 miles each, 10 turns. So talk with me. When you look at a temporary street course like this, what are some of your thoughts?
Well, first off, I got to say that the one thing that I wish NASCAR had was a little bit more street events like this, which they have none, obviously, but I wish they did. I mean, look at it from a fan perspective. That's got to be really cool to be able to go and go through Houston to be able to get down there and be able to watch that race. I think it gives a lot more access to the fans, which to me is always good.
Right, absolutely, and this has been a good race historically, really. If you look at it, and certainly last year, race two was won by Will Power. In the last five wins, you go all the way back. You've got Gail DeFerrin with Team Penske. Sebastian Bourdais won in 2006. Sebastian Bourdais won in 2007. So it certainly is a good race. This is a track that Will Power does well in. Will Power does well in street courses and road courses. As we look at Will Power getting set up for Houston, what are your thoughts?
Well, again, like you just said, he did win last week. He's 39 points up in the standings over Helio. So, I mean, I, looking at today's race, he's starting out ninth in practice-wise, he was ninth fastest, which, like you said earlier, speeds in practice is totally different than race day. So I look at him coming out with either he'll come out in the top five today and either that or win. He will win one of the 2 days, put it that way.
Well, I tell you what, we got just a little bit of time left here to talk about this IndyCar race. Certainly, if you want to give us a call and talk IndyCar or talk racing in general, 917-889-8516, unless you're listening to us, that's not live. So let me point this out to you. If you look at your clock and it's not 9:25 a.m., you cannot call this show live. Or if it's anywhere between 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Eastern time, you can call this show live. I know a lot of our shows are aired on the archive type scenario, meaning that an encore. We've got other encores other than Indiana Talks that run us all over the United States. And we appreciate all of our fan base as we try our best to bring you through a crazy world of sports. Well, let's talk a little bit about the pre-race point standings. Will Power, obviously, as I said, it has the lead in the point standings. This is a good track for him. This could be a very good point weekend for him. 370 points. Elio Castroneves at 331. Ryan Hunter Ray at 310. Simon Patajon, the pole setter, 279. Marco Andretti, which, by the way, look out for Marco on the Snapple. So if you like Snapple, have you ever drank Snapple there, Kevin?
I have. Not my favorite, but I have had it.
It's quite the refreshing tea. But they've got all kinds of Snapple's actually not a bad little drink there. I'll look for Marco on the Snapple, 235 points. Carlos Munoz, a rookie at 227 points. Good to see a rookie up there in the top 10. Juan Pablo Montoya, former NASCAR guy, 223 points. Scott Dixon, always a challenge in the point standings at 214. TK, Tony Kanaan, 118. Justin Wilson, 182. Hinchtown, James Hinchcliffe, Sebastian Bourdais, and Ryan Briscoe, Charlie Kimball, and Mikael Ashlin, and I'm going to screw that name up every single day. It sounds something like when you hear him say it, like he's saying sponges or something. I don't know. But that's kind of the top ranks there. Of course, we don't really have time to go into all of them, but that's kind of the top ranks. And like I said, Kevin, this really kind of appears to be Will Power's race. He knows this track. He does well on this track, and he's leading in the point standings. Will Power, I don't know that he has a lot to defend per se, but it is, I think, his race to lose, even though Simon Patajon is on the pole there. And the thing about it is, with a street course or a road course, you're not going to see as many passes as you may see in an oval course, which is a hint where we got into the conversation with the push, the passes. So we look at Will Power. This could be his race to lose, Kevin.
Well, and that's the thing with the road courses. I mean, the passing opportunity, there's definitely a lot less of them. So that 10 push to pass is probably all they need on this type of course compared to the oval.
Right, and I've got to see how what's really, really exciting, if you want to get into the actual techie elements of it, what's really, really exciting is when you get toward the end of the race. You see, for example, James Hinchcliffe, let's use this as an example, Will Power and James Hinchcliffe in first and second, in first and second, in Elio Castroneves in third, and Ryan Hunter-Reay in fourth. And you look at Will Power with no pushes to pass, and you look at James Hinchcliffe maybe with four, and you look at Elio Castroneves and Ryan Hunter-Reay with all of those, they can literally move from fourth to first because they can pass with those pushes to pass. So it's in a lot of ways, it's like saving your timeouts to the end of the game and see how they're going to manage to use that. So those pushes to passes are very much a huge part of the strategy in a race like this, Kevin.
Well, and that's the key right there. You said strategy. The drivers that are going to come out here and have a chance to win are those going to know what turn to use these in and not use them up. Like you said, you can't come down to the end everybody else have two or three push passes and you have none, or you only have one. So this is where it takes a little bit of intelligence, or not intelligence, bad word, but, you know, this is the type of race where you have to use a lot of thinking and a lot of teamwork, for lack of a better term, between, you know, you, your crew chief, and figure out when is that time to use it.
Right, absolutely. Well, guys, that's going to do it for the first half hour in the books. We'll be right back, and we're going to be jumping into some NASCAR talk. And, of course, we've got a great guest lined up at the top of the hour. Erica Decker going to be talking about her future in racing. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. We've got to take a break. We'll be right back right here on the Balance Radio Network. See my pride and joy.
There's blood in the streets, it's up to my ankles. Be blood in the streets, it's up to my knees. Be blood in the streets, it's down.
You know, after a long day here at the Balance Radio Studios, one of the things I like to do most is just to sit back, relax, and enjoy a nice cigar and a great cocktail. One of my favorite places to do that is Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mike and Tom have the setup for you there. I'm going to tell you what, they've got a walk-in humidor, cigars, pipes, tobacco, the way you like it. You like it mild, they got it for you. You like it strong and bold, they got something for you. They got a fully stocked bar with local drafts, a very relaxing lounge, a full-service kitchen with a delicious, delicious menu, monthly cigar tasting events. You can play Golden Tee for free. Bring your laptop, relax with a nice cigar and the cocktail the way you like it. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mr. B's Cigar Box is the place you want to go to unwind. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Very easy to find. 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. That's 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. 317-272-6900. The guys out at Mr. B's Cigar Box are waiting for you. What are you waiting for?
Hello, this is Mark Timmons of Timmons Water Systems, 728 East Main Street in Brownsburg, and we invite you to come out and check out our salt and bottled water drive-thru that we have, where we'll load the water right into your trunk or salt right into your trunk. You don't even have to get out of your car. But while you're there, if you want to check out and see how we can fix your bad water, like iron, sulfur, rotten egg smell, hardness, bad-tasting water, ask us how we can fix your water at a minimal cost. Give us a call at 852-3005 or check us out on the web at wefixbadwater.com.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquis Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquis Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquis Solutions. Work with them today.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports. Marge, Bart rides up in the front seat today because he's a good guy at sports.
Drama at NASCAR race in Canada ended with...
Hello, everyone. Welcome to our look ahead.
$199 left, and baby, it all comes down to this.
Your talk show for NASCAR.
Yeah, now that's what I'm talking about.
The Balance Online.
He went as far back as 18th at lap 103, just past the halfway point of the race. Now he's in victory lane.
In his hand, big smile. Yes, pressed on the car for the first time, so you know the pearly whites paid off here. Kevin, what a night for you. First off, you guys had some mistakes on pit road. You let him know it, but you guys were able to rebound. How did you do that?
Yeah, I kind of got into him pretty good. We made a lot of mistakes, and just a frustrating place to race and frustrating weekend. But in the end, we had a good restart, and they made the car better there at the end. Just got to thank everybody from Kroger and Prilosec and Crest, everybody from Bad Boy Buggies, and all the people on this car who make it possible. Armor, Hunt Brothers Pizza. This is a lot of fun.
Kevin, tell me how influential it was for you guys to decide to pit 10 laps later than the 54. You had fresher tires, and he opted to restart on the outside where your car was better on the inside. How important was that?
Well, I was just saying it was better on the inside because I really wanted to start on the outside, so I was hoping that they might be scanning, but that didn't work out. But we were kind of on a different strategy there and wound up, it kind of worked out there where we were able to have fresher tires there at the end, and in the end we got a good restart, and we're able to get out in front, and the car was a lot better.
You know, it's been 13 years since you've been to Victory Lane in the Nationwide Series here. How does that feel?
Oh, you're trying to make me feel old, aren't you?
Got a little gray in the beard. Congratulations. Kevin Harvick gets his second win this year.
All right, there you have it. Welcome back to The Balance. My name is Al Marquez, El Presidente. My minions, you are in touch with the one place where you can you got all the knowledge that you can possibly handle. 917-889-8516 is the digits if you want to talk to myself or that redneck from Philly. Well, Kevin, you heard it, a little gray in the beard. I've got a little gray in the beard as well. So, you know, I know exactly what Kevin Harvick's going through there. But gets his second win out at Sparta, Kentucky. What a thriller win out there at the Nationwide Series last night.
Well, Kevin Harvick, I'll tell you what, you know, it doesn't matter whether it's Nationwide or Sprint, as you can tell this year. He is one a force that you have to reckon with. And I would have loved to be in his pit when he was getting on that crew, because when you go to races, he is one of the most entertaining people to listen to on the radio. Now, I don't recommend letting your children listen to him, but he is fun and entertaining to listen to the radio. So I would have loved to hear his little speech he got onto the crew with during that race.
Well, I like Kentucky. It's a fast oval race, certainly getting geared up for Brickyard, which is going to be happening here at the end of July here in Indianapolis, one of the biggest races that we have here in Indianapolis, next to the Indianapolis 500. So I'm always excited to watch NASCAR on the oval. Of course, Nationwide will be on the oval as well. A late race pass on Kyle Busch. I know you're proud of that. On the final restart of the night that allowed Kevin Harvick, and of course he passed Kevin Harvick of JR Motorsports to win Friday night at the Kentucky Speedway down in Sparta, Kentucky. If you've never been down into that track, it's a fun track to go to. There's nothing around it, so just bring your campers or bring whatever you're going to bring with you, because you're not going anywhere once you get there, but it's a lot of fun. Harvick, though, I think had to really thank BK for the trophy, because I tell you what, Kolaski foiled late in the race with a speeding penalty in lap 148, which put him behind the open door for a classic shutout between two former Nationwide Series champions. Kevin.
Well, Kolaski, I mean, this is one of those times he was in the top one or two during both practices, comes out, takes the pole at 188. So for today's race, so it's not surprising that he had to pull a laid off pass to Kozlowski to win that.
Right, and absolutely. You know, like you mentioned it yourself, Kolaski get the pole. It was in the top 10, and then shuffled to the rear of the deck or the bottom of the deck, and BK really continued to stretch his lead by lap 20. And 10 laps later, Team Penske driver extended his lead to 2.6 seconds. Of course, 13 laps later, the caution flag fell for the first time of the night for debris on the backstretch there under the yellow. So interesting how that race come together, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. And, you know, a lot of good drivers, and we looked at Richard Childress racing, really pushed Paul Menard through that race relatively easy. A good race. As you look at the Nationwide race before we get into the big NASCAR race, and we also want to talk about the truck race on Friday. Did you see that crew member get dragged down? And he just stands up and smiles and goes, "It's all right. I'm good. Did you see that?
No, I missed that.
I was in the truck race on Friday night, man. I'll tell you what, nothing gets past me, dude. I'm on it, man. You know, I'm on it. All my million different sports channels here at the Balance Radio Studio, my social media. There's not a video clip that doesn't get past me, man. But no, I think it was the gas guy. I could be wrong. He may have been the air jack guy. But I tell you what, I can't even remember who it was. But the truck takes off, drags pit crew member, and he starts flipping, and then just stands up and waves at the crowd and smiles and goes back to the pit box.
Well, we do that then I'm doing the show all the time, get dragged.
That's right. Absolutely, man. Yeah. All right, so we look at the station-wide race. Real quickly, Kevin, give us a recap of last night's race, and let's get into some conversation about the race tonight down in Sparta, Kentucky.
Well, as you said, you know, we had some late cautions. You had the late passes. And, of course, Kevin Harvick and the crew got together. And that was the one thing I was pretty impressed with last night. Harvick definitely did not have the car the whole night. But it took some getting together with his crew, figuring out how to fix it. And, you know, I mixed on having drivers like Kevin Harvick and Busch and all them go from sprint down to nationwide. You know, I know the saying that if you want to, you want to be around the people that you want to be like, you know, outside of racing in the real world, if you want to be successful, hang with successful people, I understand that. But I wonder sometimes, you know, those nationwide guys, that's what they do. How's it to them when you get somebody like Kevin Harvick, Kyle Busch coming into the race? To a certain point, I always wonder, do they always sit back and go, okay, well, I guess I'm going for second place today.
Right. And, you know, I guess I'm not a big fan of, and I've always, and maybe I've looked at the Nationwide Series as wrongly. Maybe it's not a developmental league. I always thought that it was, but maybe it's not. Maybe it's just another series. Maybe it's just another race series that NASCAR can do. Same way with the truck. I mean, let's look at the truck, the NASCAR truck series. Certainly not a developmental league, but you saw the Dillon boys come up from the truck races in the nationwide races. So you see a lot of young drivers. Maybe that's why we think that the nationwide series is a developmental league, but maybe it's not. And if it's not, I don't really have a problem with guys like Kevin Harvick in the track. But if it is, and it's, I don't know. I know it's a completely different car. It's a completely different car. So people say, okay, well, that doesn't really give the team any advantage at all because it's a completely different car, completely different motor, completely different everything, completely different specs, rules, everything completely different. But what it does do is it gives the drivers extra time on the track, extra feel of the track. And let's face it, when you're going 200 or 180, 190 miles an hour around an oval, every feel that you could get, every groove that you could get, okay, I know that coming up here on turn four, I got to go low because high it's rough, you know, and they learn that because they input that into their instincts. So in some ways, I feel like that nationwide drivers should be nationwide drivers and Sprint Cup drivers should be Sprint Cup drivers. But, you know, part of my thinking on that was thinking that the Nationwide Series is a developmental league. Is it a developmental league, or is it just another race series, Kevin?
It's supposed to be a developmental league. You're supposed to come up, you know, through your ARCAs and your sprint, dirt tracks and everything else, and work your way up to the NASCAR. So I agree with you. That's where I look at your big-time drivers. For lack of better terms, I think they need to stay away. I understand that for your younger guys, yeah, they can watch you, Kevin Harvick, on the track and get some experience from that. They could talk to Kevin Harvick in the pits and maybe learn some things. But I don't know. I just ever since they started doing that, now I will say that last year they changed it to where basically Kevin Harvick does not get points for that win last night. So I am glad NASCAR did that and basically said, unless you're a full-time driver, you can get the win, and your team can get points as far as, you know, Chevy and all that, but you as a driver do not get points. So at least when it comes to point standings, they're no longer a factor, per se, for the championship.
Well, and absolutely. Here's the thing. I guess that that brings up another discussion, which we don't have time to really get into, because I want to get into the sprint car race. But, you know, that's just another issue that I have with the Nationwide. I'm glad they have changed that ruling, because it used to be that drivers could get driver points. And if I felt like that it gave, for example, Kevin Harvick a better advantage. Let's say that, I don't know who to use. Let's use Tony Stewart as an example, because he very rarely runs Nationwide, but he runs in the Sprint Cup. It would give Kevin Harvick a driver point advantage over Tony Stewart. So you're saying that rule has changed, right?
Correct, yeah. The drivers, when it comes to like your Nationwide standings, Kevin Harvick got the win last night, but the only drivers that got points towards a Nationwide championship are full-time Nationwide drivers.
Right, right, absolutely, absolutely. Well, let's get into the conversation about the sprint car, the big boys, the guys that make it happen, the Quaker Street 400, presented by Advance Auto Parts. We've talked about this before. Can we add another name? Of course, it'll be on 7:30 tonight over on TNT. So watch the IndyCar race and then get your ass over to TNT for the Quaker State 400 presented by Advance Auto Parts, 7:30 p.m. Going to catch it on the radio on PRN Radio. So let's talk about this race. When you look at Sparta, it's a very fast oval. And, you know, one of the things I like about fast ovals is you get fast cars. And I do believe, correct me if I'm wrong on this, Kevin, I do believe this is a restrictor plate race, which does restrict the speed, which kind of contradicts a race car in itself. I hate restrictor plate racing. Is this track a restrictor plate track? I think it probably would be.
Yes, and I agree with you. I do not like restrictor plates. I think that's I understand why they do it to a certain point, but at the same token, let them go full out. Now, it does, for lack of better terms, enhance the racing, keeps the cars closer, makes it more interesting. Downside, when there's a wreck, pretty much whoever's behind that car is involved in it.
Well, and I guess the I can get the point of the restrictor plate, because we want to reduce speeds, because we want, you know, the thing about the difference between the open wheel race and the stock car race is the way that the cars are engineered and put together. The downforce, you have greater downforce with IndyCar than you do with NASCAR, and if you get up to certain, you know, speeds, the airborne possibility is largely increased. You'll see more NASCARs go airborne than you will IndyCar. So from that aspect of it, from the safety aspect of it, obviously you don't want to just think about the safety of the drivers, which is obviously one of the most important things, but you also want to think about the safety of the fans. And let's face it, NASCAR fans aren't always the most alert people. Hey, that car's coming your way. That car's coming your way. Oh, let's stand here. And as we've seen a few times happen, when those cars hit the catch fence, if you're anywhere near that, it could prove to be not a good day for you. So, you know, I could see why they have the restrictor plate racing. I'm just not necessarily a fan of it, because by name and by definition, it restricts speed, which contradicts a race car, which is supposed to go fast. Well, let's look at this race out in Sparta, Kentucky, a very fast track, probably, right up there with Indianapolis Motor Speedway, the Michigan International Raceway, and then you got Sparta, Kentucky. Sparta is a very, very fast track. I think we're going to see a big one tonight, and that's exciting to see the big one underneath the lights. But as you look at a night race out at the Oval at Sparta, Kentucky, what are your thoughts, Kevin? Give us your ins, the outs, and give us the things that only the redneck from Philly can give us.
First off, I love night racing. I don't know what it is about the night. Number one, you always have new paint schemes for at night, which I know The downside of, to me, Formula One, they never change it. I love the different paint schemes in the NASCAR. Brings different aspects. Temperature on the track can be different. This is not a very smooth track, like you were talking about earlier, as far as going high with the grip bumps. And the drivers don't want to change. They like this track the way it is. As a matter of fact, they're talking about possibly repaving it, and the drivers do not want that at all. They like the track the way it is. It's fast. And you're right, definitely downforce. They need to restrict it a little bit. These cars, even with all the flaps they have that pop up to try to keep them down when they get in a wreck, they do go a little bit more airborne. However, you know, us NASCAR fans, we're not slow, Tom.
You're not slow? What do you mean by that?
Well, you're saying about how, like, when a car hits the fence, we just look, there's the car. Come on now. We're not that bad. We're not the fastest, but we're not that bad either. There's some desperate drivers for tonight that need that win. We're starting to get there where, with the new points this year, you have to have, well, you don't have to, but, that win is huge. To be able to make it to the chase. So you've got people like Boyer, which is qualified 11th, that is a good driver. He's good on these ovals. And, I look for somebody like that to come out with a win. Yeah, number two, the Deuce is up high. Joe Logano is second. He needs a win. And then, of course, the rookie, Kyle Larson, which starts sixth. I've been impressed with him this year. So, your favorites are up there. You've got Gordon at third. You got Harvick at fifth. And, of course, Danica's number 10. So we'll see if she can get involved in a wreck or she'll actually stay away from them. But during the qualifying, she was up near number one and number two the whole time.
Her ass is so hot. I've seen it cause traffic accidents.
I was waiting for that clip.
Absolutely. We'll see what Danica Patrick can do in this race. I'm not a Danica Patrick fan. Certainly a good driver. She has good marketability. She's a very nice looking woman. I will give you that. But let her be a supermodel. Okay, great. She's not a race car driver. That's just my opinion. And I guess that is what it is.
Her ass is so hot. I've seen it cause traffic accidents.
But you can't get through a conversation about NASCAR without talking about Danica Patrick. You know, you can go through all the sports standings, the standings of course, Gordon Johnson, Earnhardt, Kenseth, and then just go all the way down to number 10 or however far down freaking Danica Patrick is. I don't even know how far down she is. But I don't think she's in 10. Did you say she was in 10th in point standing?
No, I'm talking about the race tonight.
No, I don't even think she's on there far enough to make the charts. I don't know. She's way down there.
When it comes to points, she's not in the conversation.
Exactly. Well, let's get into the conversation about points. We got about 5 minutes. We're going to take a break, and then we got to get back for Erica Decker, who's going to be joining us. Certainly an up-and-coming ARCA driver. Probably even see her in a NASCAR soon in the next few years. Jeff Gordon, Hendrix Motorsport. Jimmy Johnson, Hendrix Motorsport. Dale Jr., Hendrix Motorsport. And then Matt Kins of Joe Gibbs Racing. BK, do it your way. Brad Kolaski. With Team Penske, Roush Fenway Racing, Carl Edwards, Joey Logano. I like Joey Logano in number 7 there. And then my guy, Ryan Newman, and Richard Childress Racing, obviously his first year over there. And I saw a story this week, I believe, where Cat renewed the sponsorship with him. So it looks like he's going to be hanging around Richard Childress Racing a little bit longer. Of course, Stuart Haas Racing, which took the spot of Ryan Newman. And Tony Stewart gave Ryan Newman the boot and said, Kevin Harvick, come on board with us. And Chip Ganassi, Kyle Larson. That rounds out your top 10. What say you, sir?
Well, Ryan Newman is, he's number 7. He needs a win to be able to get into chase. Yeah, he's in the top 10, 12 right now, which is the new chase of 12 drivers. But starting out number 7th, he's going to be another one that tonight you got to really watch because he knows just how much he needs his win.
Right, go ahead. I thought you were going to say something else.
Oh, no, we were talking earlier about Danner. She's 28th in points, so yeah. Her hopes of a NASCAR chase is pretty much as good as ours.
Right. Well, real quickly here, and then we got to get into a break here because I want to make sure that we're back in plenty of time here for our guest, Erica Decker, to give her the time and talk with her a little bit about what's going on in her racing career and what's going on over there. So real quickly, give us some final thoughts on today's race, tonight's race down in Sparta, Kentucky.
Well, tonight's race coming into it, like I said, you know, you have number 2 up there top, Joey Logano, of course, your Jeff Gordon. Denny Hamlin and Kevin Harvick round up your top 5. And when it comes to the power rankings right now, I mean, this whole season, you're Hendrick Motorsports is near the top. Obviously, they're on their game. Harvick's up there. So you obviously got to throw them in contention for the win tonight, but you also got to remember you have people like your Kyle Larson, rookie up there in the top 10, Ryan Newman in the top 10. So I would not be surprised if you have a Harvick, Gordon, Johnson finishing in the top 5, but I look for a first-time winner tonight. I think somebody's going to win that has not won yet.
That's what they call a first-time winner, Kevin.
That's what they call it.
I got it, man.
In general.
All right, guys, we're going to take a break. My name is Saul Marquezel, Presidente, myself, and that redneck from Philly, Kevin Chapman. We're breaking down today's racing action. And, of course, coming up next, we've got a very excited guest that we're looking forward to talking to, a young and up-and-coming race car driver out of the ARCA series. Came in second last night in her race, and also today, I believe, is her birthday as well. So we're going to be joined by Erica Decker here in just a few minutes right here on the Balance Radio Network.
Hair of your back. Your jeans are playing peekaboo. Every morning I get up before that rooster crows. Headed straight to somewhere. It protects me from the fuzz. Well, I do what I gotta do to get through working at 9 to 5. It's killing me, but then again, it's keeping me alive. It puts the gas in my truck.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
You know, after a long day here at the Balance Radio Studios, one of the things I like to do most is just to sit back, relax, and enjoy a nice cigar and a great cocktail. One of my favorite places to do that is Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mike and Tom have the setup for you there. I'm going to tell you what, they've got a walk-in humidor, cigars, pipes, tobacco, the way you like it. You like it mild, they got it for you. You like it strong and bold, they got something for you. They got a fully stocked bar with local drafts, a very relaxing lounge, a full-service kitchen with a delicious, delicious menu, monthly cigar tasting events. You can play Golden Tee for free. Bring your laptop, relax with a nice cigar and the cocktail the way you like it. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mr. B's Cigar Box is the place you want to go to unwind. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Very easy to find. 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. That's 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. 317-272-6900. The guys out at Mr. B's Cigar Box are waiting for you. What are you waiting for?
I'm J.B. Bernstein. I'm a sports agent.
Hey.
Who's that?
She's my neighbor. Not my type.
Why? Because she's not a model.
Yeah, stay away from that.
Right now, I'm on the verge of a huge break.
Without this deal, we're done. What's going on here? Don't tell me you signed a contract with these guys.
It's just business.
Guess what? We're out of money. I mean, I don't know what else to do, JB.
Hey, how fast are they pitching cricket? Yeah, they gotta crack this.
It's called Million Dollar R. We find the first Major League Baseball player from India.
Like being on the road?
Words cannot express.
Ray, how are you going to know if anyone can throw if you keep your eyes shut all day?
I can hear it.
Really?
Ah. That was about a 43.
Shakalaka. Bingo.
We have our finalists.
Welcome to America, boys.
Okay. All right, guys.
Who is that? Is she a servant? She's a beautiful servant.
We can't train somebody who has never picked up a baseball.
It's insane. Okay, so how's it going?
Baseball is very hard.
This is Major League Baseball, not some social experiment.
You're not ready for this kind of pressure.
This is business.
Don't be a sideshow.
These guys are not ready for a pro tryout.
Their chances fall between slim and none.
Ah!
Are you okay?
These kids, they're my last best shot.
But they're also just a couple of great kids. Kids. I mean, they're far from home. They need to see that you care. Standing in the heart, babe.
As the world's gonna know your name. Wow.
This whole alternative family thing looks good on you.
See this, partner?
Boom.
We've got a major league tryout.
Are you messing with us?
No, I'm not messing with you. You got a tryout. All right, go ahead. Say it.
Did you kiss Miss Brenda?
No. She kissed me.
Oh!
Oh,
Jimmy! Yeah.
All right, my minions, welcome back to The Balance. My name's Saul Marquis, El Presidente, hour number two, with first hour in the books. Hit myself and the redneck from Philly. Been talking some racing IndyCar down in Houston, and of course the NASCAR boys down in Sparta. But I'm excited to have our next guest with us, a very young driver who's up and coming in from Decker Racing, Natalie Decker. Only 16, well, I take that back. I believe she just turned 17 years old. She drives a number four car in the Super Late Model Limited Late Model and Super Truck Series, and that redneck from Philly, Kevin Chapman, is joining us as well. Natalie, welcome to The Balance.
Hi, thank you for having me.
I am excited to have you. I always love talking to young drivers. I hear you had a great race, and you came in second there last night. Talk to us a little bit about your race last night.
Well, last night qualifying to start off the night didn't go so well. We got 11th, and my cousin got fast time, so she got to roll the dice, and it's the number plus seven. So I was like waiting in the pits, and they're announcing all the numbers, and she rolled a six. So that's like the perfect number. That's what I would like need, and that would make her start way in the back. So I started second row inside. So third, and I right off like the start, right at the green flag, me and the guy in the pole just took off, and he was definitely way faster than me. So he was like a straightaway ahead of me, and then everyone was behind me. And then 15 laps into the race, I started pulling away from the guys behind me and catching the leader. But my spotter told me, like, back it down, you know. You're, like, all by yourself. You can't win it. He's too far ahead, and we got to save our tires for the next race. So it was fun. It wasn't the most exciting race I did because there wasn't a lot of passing. But it was a great race.
And joining us also is our partner in crime, Mr. Kevin Chapman, that redneck from Philly. Kevin, what do you got for Natalie Decker? What an exciting opportunity that we have to talk with these young drivers. Certainly, we love having young drivers on here and help give them a little bit of a shove and let the whole United States. And Natalie, you're all over the United States, so don't be nervous. There's only two of us listening, and that's me and Kevin. So go right ahead, Kevin.
Well, again, like Tom said, thank you, Natalie. And just one of the first questions I have for you is, noticing this is a family sport. It's not just you, you know. So what's it like having your family racing alongside you or developing up with them at the same time as they're going through the NASCAR ranks?
It's definitely good, I think. It pushes all of us harder. We're really competitive with each other. So when we're racing against each other, we try it so much harder when we're, like, alongside each other, one of us is in front of each other, and, like, it's really funny because this is my first year in Super Late, so I only got the chance to race against my youngest cousin. She's 18 or 19, I believe, and my older one, I haven't ever got to have a chance to race against her because she's now down in North Carolina racing for NASCAR Drive for Diversity. So it's really funny because we always like make fun of each other, and you know, it's just really fun.
Well, now does how much smack talk, I guess, would be a good word. It goes on around the family get-togethers then between the three of you.
Yeah, like. For the race last night when I got second, I'm not sure what place she get, but like when she got fast time and stuff, like we just like talk to each other, you know, but we all like help each other grow and try to make each other get faster. And when I haven't been to a track that she's been at, she'll like help me out and tell me who's fast there and like say like go talk to them, they'll help you. And so we are always trying to do that too.
Well, we're talking with Natalie Decker of Decker Racing, certainly a young driver, up and coming, and certainly races with her family members, Claire Decker and Paige Decker, as well. And I tell you what, it's always exciting to talk with young drivers. And one question I always ask, and certainly, you know, you guys are you race with your there's Natalie, which is you, and then your sister, which is Paige. And Claire, am I correct on that? Or are you guys your cousin to Paige and Claire, right?
Yep, Paige and Claire are sisters, and I'm their cousin.
Now, I know you guys really, and you come from the upper Midwest in the upper peninsula of Michigan, the way I understand it, and you guys come from a snowmobiling family, or maybe as you call it up there, a snow machine family. So talk with me a little bit about how you guys look at Danica Patrick as your role model.
Well, my dad is really into snowmobiling, and so is Danica's dad. So they were, like, a really good friend. So I always grew up, like, knowing her parents. I've only talked to her a couple times. So looking up to her is, like, awesome. She's a great role model, you know. And whenever I get to always know, like, kind of a little about her, more of her personal, like I get to go to her parents' house and, like, see where, like, she stays and, like, where she works out and stuff. And so it's really cool, like, when I see all that, it makes me want to do that. Makes me want to do what she does.
Now, Natalie, I don't want you to be modest here or anything, but I think that the Decker Racing or the Decker family has a lot to do with the Danica Patrick phenomenon. It may not have ever happened. In fact, Danica Patrick's middle name, Sue, is in honor of Sue Decker, who set up Danica's parents on a blind date. And I hear that Bev was a feisty mechanic on an all-female snowmobile team. So I think that Decker Racing and your family should pat themselves on the back for producing one of the greatest, well-known anyway, NASCAR drivers of our time.
Yeah, because my dad raced against Danica's dad, and then my aunt Sue had an all-girls team, And my dad and my aunt were really good friends because she was dating one of my dad's brothers. And he, Danica's dad, just, they needed him to have a girlfriend because everyone else had one, you know. So they set him up. And ever since that, they've been together. So...
That is a funny story, and like I say, we're a national show, so I have people that do homework for me, but I just knew that you guys were, that there was that connection between Danica Patrick snowmobiling and the Decker Racing family. Kevin, go ahead.
Well, what is it? The one question I always ask young drivers, and I want to get the, I guess, a little different perspective, coming from the female aspect. Coming up in the ranks, every time race I've seen or watched that you're in, number one, your lines are getting a lot longer for autographs, which is awesome. But what is it like with the other drivers? Is coming from, you know, a 17-year-old female racing out over there with some guys a little bit older. How do they treat you? Did you ever feel like you were kind of pushed aside with the, oh, well, she's just this young girl, so we don't have to worry about her?
Well, I always, like, tell them once, like, we're in the race car in our hometown, I'm just an elite race car driver. And a lot of the bigger guys around here all love us, and they help us try to grow. They're always looking what's best for us, and they're always teaching us new things on the track. Like, even during practice, like, they'll help us out and say, like, follow this line and follow me. And so... everyone's really supportive, and obviously in racing you're going to have some of those guys who don't like some people. So, like, but that's not a big issue. There's not very many people who don't like us. So it's great, and I love racing with the people I do right now because they're all helping me grow as a person and as a race car driver.
I thought you had another question.
Go ahead, Tom.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought Kevin had another question. Well, we're talking with Natalie Decker of Decker Racing, and an exciting time it is for her as she up and comes. Let me talk with me a little bit about the current series that you're in and what you race now, and talk with me a little bit about what your goals are and what you're trying to reach as a young driver.
Well, right now I'm racing a super late model and a limited late model. I'm doing the limited late model only in Wasatch State Park Speedway. And then my super late model, I'm going to run some of the ARCA Midwest Tour Series races, maybe three or two of them. I'm not sure where yet, at what tracks, but we know we're going to try to do some of those. And then I race at the same place at Wasatch State Park Speedway. With the late model, I also race at Plover at Golden Sand Speedway, at the racetrack in Madison. We're going to go to Slinger Nationals with my super late. And we're just trying to get mostly seat time in it because we didn't think we're going to be doing this many races. But once we started seeing, like, that we were running top fives every weekend, we're like, okay, well, we're going to put the limited to the side and start doing more super late and going to the bigger events and bigger races where there's more people and harder competition to see how we do there. And my goal is to go to NASCAR. I would like to – I'm going to keep trying out for that NASCAR Drive for Diversity. I think that's a great program. My cousin Paige is in there. And I really like that. And they do the Whalen Series in K9. So, like, if you make it, like, my cousin's racing in the Whalen Series right now. And she got 11th last night, I believe. She did a good job. And then you can move up through that, which would be awesome.
What is the difference, the biggest difference between snowmobile racing and race car racing as far as the mentality of a driver goes?
Okay, well, my dad was a world championship in snowmobiles, and I tried them, but not ice oval like my dad did. I did, like, over the big jumps and stuff when I was, like, four, and I, like, went 2 feet and took my helmet off, and I was like, I'm done. And I'm like, taking pictures of me, and, like, my dad was like, what are you doing? He came running over there. I was like, no, I'm done. I don't like this. And I just walked off. That was my snowmobile career. I'm not sure. I don't get into snowmobiles too much. I'm not a big fan of them. I know my dad is like, that's his path that he went to when he was my age. He took the snowmobile route instead of cars for racing. But I'm not too into that. I tried it when I was four. It just didn't go well.
Go right ahead. I apologize, Natalie. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go right ahead.
It's okay. Then when I was six, I just started getting into more of like go-karts and stuff like that.
I want to talk with you a little bit about your cousin, Paige Decker, who had been invited to the D4D Combine, which let's talk a little bit about that. It's like the football combine where really a lot of the scouts, a lot of the big guys are looking at you. And she didn't make the cut, but she was accepted to drive for Diversity Combine last year, I believe, as well. So she tried again, is the way I understand it. But that program has graduates such as Kyle Larson, Darrell Wallace Jr., just to name a few. What when you look at her experience in the D4D Combine, and how does that experience relate to you? Was that a good experience for you to look at? Is that something that you're trying to get to? Are you learning from her mistakes? What are some of the things that you guys are doing to get invited, I guess, again to the D4D Combine? I'm sure that's something that's on your agenda as well, Natalie.
Yeah, I definitely look at like what she's all doing. I went down and visit her. I got to look at the race shop. And it's awesome, like, what they all do. And she, I'm not sure how many races she races. She races quite a bit down there. And she does the Whalen series, like I said. And I think, like, her goal is to show them that she can move up into the K&N series. And I think it's so cool that program, like, does that. So it gives, like, everyone, like, a chance. And they do an awesome job of it. I really like that program a lot. And seeing my cousin doing that and seeing that she can make it makes Claire and I, like, really work hard back at home. So when we go try out for that program, we have a really good chance of making it like she did.
Now, when you look at some of these drivers that, like I just mentioned, Kyle Larson, who's obviously doing very, very well in the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series, are you getting any advice from or Paige or your other cousins, your family? Are they getting any advice on take this route, talk to this person? Are they helping you network so that you can put yourself in the right position to be in front of the right people when that time comes for your call?
Yeah, they really help out with stuff like that. And there's so many different routes you can go to make it. Like, you could go through the NASCAR Drive for Diversity. I know that the Peak Performance does like a thing where you can try out to do. I believe it's a K&N race that they do with you, and like a team could also just like take you and like slowly make you move up with sponsorships. I could just get a big sponsorship and say we want to go all the way with you if you can make it. And there's so many different ways that you can go all the way. But it's so hard because there's so many people trying to do it.
Sure.
So that's why that diversity program is really good, because then it's something that you can try out for, and it's an age limit, and so.
Well, you're certainly an impressive have an impressive resume. You're from Eagle River, Wisconsin. I said Michigan earlier. I do apologize for that. And I think that you're now a junior in high school. But your resume highlights include four track champions in the go-kart series, seven feature wins, Rookie of the Year, Sportsman of the Year, Most Improved Driver, CWSSA overall champion out of 35 drivers in Super Stock, fast time, one feature win, and two podiums, and limited late model, four podiums, and three overall points. Rookie of the Year, Sportsman of the Year, ARCA Scrag Midwest Truck Tour, one podium, one feature, Rookie of the Year. It just goes on and on and on. Not to mention, you're accepted to compete in the 2013 NASCAR Rev Racing Drive for Diversity Combine. You have an impressive resume. When you look at that and you look back at your accomplishments at age 17 years old, what motivates you? What drives you? Is it Paige? Is it Claire? Is it Danica? What inside you gives you that motivation? Because let's face it, most of your friends are out doing other things than racing race cars.
Well, my motivation mostly comes from myself, because that's what I've been wanting to do since I was 6 years old. And my dad gave me the chance to start that at 9 when he got me a kart for my birthday. So ever since that, I've just been wanting to prove to myself mostly that I can do this. I'm just as good as everyone else. Like, I'm trying to prove that to myself by getting all of this and moving up the ranks really fast. Like, I started in the four-cylinder, like, little cars when I was 12. I didn't even know how to drive stick shift. And my dad's like, oh, we're racing tomorrow. Like, and I didn't know anything. And from that point to, like, spinning out and crashing and, like, just not knowing anything to now winning races almost every weekend and getting fast times and getting all these, like, I'm second in points right now at one of the tracks with the Super Late. First in points is a limited at State Park Speedway. So coming from doing that at all these tracks and, like, showing everyone how fast I'm moving, and now I'm in a super late racing against all those guys that were helping me when I was little, like in these little cars that they didn't race. And they're like, oh, we can't wait to race against you when you're in a super late, and now I'm there. So, like, that's pretty much what helps me and drives me to go forward.
We're joined by Natalie Decker of Decker Racing and Kevin Chapman. Kevin, I appreciate you helping us get Natalie on the show today. What else you got for Natalie while we got some time left with her?
Well, and you just pretty much hit the nail on the head. One of the biggest questions I have is, you know, she's 17 years old, and that's got to be a challenge trying to balance you know, being in school, trying to be a 17-year-old girl, for lack of better terms, but yet at the same time, trying to work her way up through the NASCAR. Do you feel that at times, do you ever look at and say, you know, I know where I want to go, but at the same token, I want to go out and do some of the things with my friends? I mean, how do you balance that other than having a good roots with your family? Do you find that as a challenge?
Yeah, it's a really hard challenge, the most challenging thing that I do, because I leave Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I'm mostly gone those 4 days racing. So my school helps me out a ton. So school isn't that hard, but being able to be with my friends and do sports and, like, that part of it is super hard. Like, I miss like, prom and my best friend's birthday party and all that stuff for what I want to do. And everyone understands it, and they're all, like, my best friend, she totally, like, she's, like, all with me on it, and she's like, you go, like, I don't care what you miss, like, I can see you when you're home. And sometimes my parents even allow her to come with us to watch me race and, like, go in the pits, and she loves helping out, and she usually just cleans, but she doesn't know how to do anything else. So that part is super hard, seeing all my friends.
Well, we're joined by young 17-year-old driver of the Decker Racing, the 04 car of Decker Racing, and certainly you're in the truck tonight, as I understand it, out at Marshfield Motor Speedway in Wisconsin there. Is that correct?
No, right now we're on our way home from the one race in Plover with my super late model. We don't have any more races this weekend.
going to take the rest of the weekend off. Well, Natalie, I appreciate you joining us, and certainly we hope that this is the first of many interviews. And all I can say is when you get big as Danica or bigger as Danica, because I anticipate that with you, you always give us an interview here on The Balance. How's that sound?
That sounds great.
Hey, Natalie Decker of Decker Racing, the driver of the number 4 car. Real quickly, Natalie, I always want to ask our guests this. Let me ask you this. Is there anything that we haven't talked about with you that you'd like to share with our listeners all over the United States? And where can people find you on social media, Twitter, and on the World Wide Web, if you will?
Well, first off, we have a DeckerRacing.com website. You can find me there. It has all, like, where we're racing and our stories of how the races went. I have a Natalie Decker fan page on Facebook, and I have my personal Twitter and Instagram. My Twitter, I think, is ndecker04. Like, that's my name for there. And on Instagram, it's just Natalie Decker, and I post a lot of racing stuff on there. On Instagram, it's all pictures of, like, my race cars and how I did. So that's really good to follow on there, too.
Well, I can tell you one thing. After today, you're going to have some good followers. I know that we are now following Decker Racing, and we'll be following you as well. Natalie, so I appreciate you giving us the time today to talk with us about your young racing career. We wish you the best of luck. And I tell you what, Natalie, you're always welcome here on The Balance. Kevin, did you have anything else?
No, you did it all. I wanted to be able to give her that time to be able to let people know where to go. And, again, thank you, Natalie. And we will definitely try to have you back on. You have our contact, so we'll get back in touch and figure out when we could have you on again.
Thank you, guys, for everything.
All right.
Thanks for the opportunity.
All right, Natalie, you have yourself a good weekend. Natalie Decker of Decker Racing in the number 4 car joining us and talking with us about her up-and-coming career in racing. And what a fun story that was, Kevin, to hear the story in the Canadian. We make fun of Danica a lot, but let's face it, she was young at one time, too, as well. And what a good connection that is between the Decker family and the Patrick family. I thought that was a pretty good story as well. Very, very excited. I love seeing these young kids who are doing something with them their lives as opposed to, well, what a lot of young kids do, I guess, these days. But what an exciting interview that was. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. We're going to take a break. The final half hour of today's Balance is right around the corner, right after this.
Every time you take a sip.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
You know, after a long day here at the Balance Radio Studios, one of the things I like to do most is just to sit back, relax, and enjoy a nice cigar and a great cocktail. One of my favorite places to do that is Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mike and Tom have the setup for you there. I'm going to tell you what, they've got a walk-in humidor, cigars, pipes, tobacco, the way you like it. You like it mild, they got it for you. You like it strong and bold, they got something for you. They got a fully stocked bar with local drafts, a very relaxing lounge, a full-service kitchen with a delicious, delicious menu, monthly cigar tasting events. You can play Golden Tee for free. Bring your laptop, relax with a nice cigar and the cocktail the way you like it. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mr. B's Cigar Box is the place you want to go to unwind. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Very easy to find. 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. That's 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. 317-272-6900. The guys out at Mr. B's Cigar Box are waiting for you. What are you waiting for?
Bo do bleep, bo bo geep, bo dwa da do da dwa ma. Hey, that bird? Oh, what's it up? Mm-hmm. Una, two.
Open Gangnam Style. Gangnam Style.
Minions, welcome back. Welcome back. My name is Saul Marquis, El Presidente, your fearless leader. My minions, you have a half an hour of duty left. Let's make the best of it. 30 minutes left on the clock. Actually, 29 minutes exactly left on the clock. Joining me now also is my partner in crime, that redneck from Philly, Mr. Kevin Chapman. Kevin, how we doing, sir? What a great interview that was with Natalie Decker of Decker Racing.
We're doing good. And you're right, it was. You know, it's like you said, it's awesome talking to young drivers, and we get to talk to a lot of male drivers just because the sport is primarily male. So to me, it was even better just to have a different perspective than we normally get on this show.
Absolutely. And, we've had a lot of young drivers and certainly drivers in the ARCA and CRA series. Josh Timmerman is one of the favorites that come on here a lot and talk with us. It's always good to have those young drivers on because I tell you what, that's exactly how I got to know James Hinchcliffe through being in the Indy Lights series and interviewing him out there at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. They remember you as they get up. And I wish her the best of luck. Whenever we get to have young drivers like that on who are just full of energy and full of motivation. I love it. Fantastic. Well, we spent a little bit longer on our racing segment, but that's okay. It's all good because, it's the balance. We give you a full balance of everything. So certainly we've covered IndyCar down in Houston today in the big NASCAR race down in Sparta, Kentucky. And we've talked with young driver Natalie Decker of Decker Racing. Good opportunity to talk with her. But 30 minutes left on the clock, so we're just going to kind of open mic it, if you will. Let's talk some U.S. Cup. Some World Cup. USA. What a great match that was, even though the other day, I tell you what, down at the office downtown Indianapolis, every TV was full. I think every cube was empty at my office, and everybody was in the break room, the cafeteria, or somewhere watching the World Cup, USA and Germany. USA did not put a win together, but only in soccer can you lose and still advance, and that's obviously because Portugal beat Guam for the U.S. to advance. Now they're in the knockout phase against Belgium. As you look at that that match coming up here, I believe it's tomorrow. Is that correct?
Yes.
Tomorrow, and in the knockout, it's either win or go home at this point for USA. So when you look at that match between USA and Belgium, certainly it doesn't get any easier. There's a reason why when we got this draw, they called it the group of death for the USA. So they've overcome a lot. They are hanging on for dear life, but Belgium is a very, very, very tough team for the USA to beat.
Yeah, I like our chances. I love the World Cup. I love the soccer. I think it's good for the U.S. Can I say we luckily got out of there? No. We should have been in the 16, the knockout, before we even play Germany. We should have never gotten to that point, but it is what it is. And I look at us coming out, I think we can beat them.
Well, you know, and I think so, too. And you know, I tell you what, you got to give credit to Coach Jurgen Klinsmann, who really has been a leader in this whole match and has really just, you know, one match at a time, and certainly he's the coach of the United States national men's soccer team. And basically, he's made some very key decisions, and he's been very, very friendly to the media. I think a lot of people have enjoyed watching the coach and how animated Klinsmann is on the sidelines as well.
Well, I mean, he is definitely a huge plus for us. And you're right. Well, you want to have some good entertainment, just watch him on the sidelines. When we barely missed that goal against Germany with 84 minutes into the match, I think his reaction was better to watch than the players themselves.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and I think that he's gotten a lot of attention, and I like that. I like the fact that, well, I tell you what, it's Belgium in the United States, and I take that back. It's Tuesday. It's not Sunday, 4 o'clock. Of course, be on ESPN, round of 16 down in Salvador as well. So let's talk a little bit about the match stats, which starts on Tuesday at 4 o'clock. We'll talk a little bit about the match preview. Certainly, go USA, 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 boys and girls. You know what? Here's the funny thing. Between the two teams, there's been no draws. Belgium has 4 wins, and we've only had 1, and yet we're in the top 16. And Belgium has scored 8, and we've only scored 5. Not looking good for the United States, certainly, you know, you got to look at Howard being a great goalkeeper, and you were a goalkeeper, and Gazan being a goalkeeper as well. We talked about Klinsmann, but you got to look at the fact that USA is starting to get some household names in soccer, which for the United States, that's a little bit different. Of course, we all know our football players, basketball players, baseball players, and what have you, but how many of us can actually name the players on the USA team? Gonzalez, Brooks, Beasley, but Dempsey is another key name that's really starting to emerge through the World Cup as being a famous athlete in the United States.
This is huge for soccer here in the United States. You're right. The average American could probably name one person, Dempsey. They might know Howard as a goalie. But that's not it when it comes to names. It's going to get there. Soccer's come around here in Indianapolis. You got the Indy 11. Unfortunately, they're not winning a whole lot. They're tying. But soccer's going to get here, and I think this is huge. To get the soccer into the average household in the United States.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. And you know, we talk about the Indy 11, and we've talked about them many times here on the show ourselves. And you know, they've done a lot here inside the city to create viewing parties and so forth, if you will, for families to come out and watch the USA in the match there. So, you know, I think it is exciting. I think we're starting to see maybe a shift in our sports culture a little bit. We saw the same thing, very, very similar. We saw the same thing in golf when Tiger Woods came out and was really, you know, lighting the world on fire when he first came out. I think, you know, a lot of young kids at that point wanted to become golfers. A lot of them did. A lot of them that we see in the PGA now as well. So that would be a shift in comparison to what we see now, Kevin.
Well, you're right, and there is going to be more people come out there. You know, I would love to know the stats, and I do not know this. You might know it. The viewage, a viewer, whatever you want to call it, for the World Cup. Because you're right, even where I work as a chef, everybody was watching that game at noon. So there are going to be a lot more younger kids now that want to play soccer.
Well, and we've seen in the younger generation, especially in the kids, over the last year, few years, you know, playing soccer, you know, hence the pop culture term, soccer mom. So, you know, I think that we see that in our generation where a lot of generational speaking that the young kids are growing up to play soccer. Well, let's talk about another football. And that is the Indianapolis Colts. Let's talk a little bit about some of the rumors, of course, and rumors around the NFL. As we get closer, a lot of these teams are getting geared up for camp. Obviously, the Indianapolis Colts is no different. Going to be doing camp out at Anderson University in Anderson, Indiana. Excited to see the Indianapolis Colts back on the field, even if it is just for practice. Certainly, the Indianapolis Colts have made a few moves this offseason in order to attempt to win the AFC South a second year in a row, having hopes of winning a Super Bowl title this year. That would be fantastic. Fantastics? That would be fantastic. Some of the moves include re-signing cornerback Vontae Davis to a long-term contract, picking up key players from the 2014 NFL draft, like offensive lineman Jack Muhart, and, of course, wide receiver Dante Mohoff. And so certainly, you know, I think that the Indianapolis Colts are going to begin to trim down their receiver position. I like many of the fans of the Indianapolis Colts and who they have on their rosters. They currently have 11 going into training camp, and I know that they're allowed to go into camp with a 90-man roster. Of course, that will get trimmed down. We'll see how that is. I get that, but with the talent of receivers the Colts currently have, they have to make a couple hard decisions earlier than later, probably, especially when you look at Reggie Wayne probably making a return back to the Indianapolis Colts. And as of right now, Kevin, the three receivers who are going to get the most playing time obviously include Reggie Wayne, T.Y. Hilton, and so those are the ones. So we got to see where it goes from there. What are your thoughts on the Indianapolis Colts as we get ready for the 2014 season?
Well, and I was just going to, you know, talk to you about the receivers. I look forward to this year. I look forward to seeing their first home loss, you know, this year because of who it's coming at the hands of on Monday Night Football. But it's going to be interesting. I think they have a really good shot at going farther than they went last year. There's been a lot of shifts in the AFC. You know, obviously they're going to have to face your Denver Broncos to get to the Super Bowl, not only in the regular season but in the playoffs. But if there's going to be a team that has a shot, you know, the Colts definitely have it. Receiver-wise, we'll see. They've got an amazing quarterback to throw to them. So either way, it's going to be a threatening tandem for any defense to come up against when it comes to receiving corps.
Certainly the Indianapolis Colts have a great team, and I think we're going to have a great year and another good season, obviously, with the general leading the charge, and that's Andrew Luck. But one of the other situations we got to look at with the Indianapolis Colts is the running back situation. You know, when the Indianapolis Colts go into training camp next month, they'll have a three-way battle for the starting running back position, obviously Trent Richardson, Vic Ballard, and Ahmad Bershaw. I think a lot of people, especially in the mainstream media like ESPN, would say to you that Ahmad Bradshaw may take over that starting spot. Certainly, you would think that Trent Richardson would get the first shot. I wasn't that impressed with him last year. Maybe it was starting jitters. I don't know. We could talk about what we gave up to get Trent Richardson. Was it worth it? Is he worth it? The point is, if we have to go by what we go by last year in 2013, Richardson struggled, and he struggled early, and I don't know that he's ever really fully recovered from his surgery. So I wouldn't be surprised if Bradshaw steps in ahead of Trent Richardson, Kevin.
I agree, and I think that would be a better move. Trent Richardson is a great catch-and-go back, but when it comes to just being in the backfield, getting the ball going, I think Bradshaw would be a better choice.
So, you know, we'll certainly we'll see what happens in camp. Certainly, Bradshaw is a veteran and brings that leadership to the Colts. You know, and I think we're in a very good position to make a deep playoff run. And, you know, and certainly I don't think there's as much pressure on Andrew Luck right now. And Bradshaw has two Super Bowl rings with the New York Giants and two 1,000-yard seasons under his belt. So certainly I think you're right. It makes sense that if you look at it just on paper, who to put in that starting position, it would be obviously Ahmad Bradshaw. Well, let's talk a little. We can't go through all of the teams, but let's talk a little bit since it is the redneck from Philly. Let's talk about those Philadelphia Phillies. Obviously, throughout the year, we will have our guy from Philly, and of course, as we get into the season. But let's talk with me a little bit about Chip Kelly and the culture that he's trying to bring to the Philadelphia Eagles. I think, you know, you look at Darren Sproles, who's joining them as a running back, and I think that the Eagles have a multi-faced battle, if you will, but there's a certain culture that Chip Kelly is trying to bring to the Philadelphia Eagles and begin to mold year after year.
Well, I mean, when it comes to running backs, I don't see a battle going for who's going to be the number one. LeSean's still our number one back. Sproles coming in there, you know, the reality of it is we're not going to miss somebody like DeSean. You could look at our wide receiving core and say, okay, well, there's nobody fast. There's no real deep threat. You don't have that. And you're right. DeSean was our deep threat. He got behind the wide receiver, the safety of the corner, and it was on. He could take him. But you now have to watch. Not only do you have to watch Shady coming out of the back, but now we got Sproles coming out of there. So it's going to be an interesting defensive scheme to come up with that because Chip Kelly is speed. And it's going to be fast attacks. So, you know, as a defense, when you come against Philly and you put our two backs in there, who do you go? Do you worry about the two backs coming out of there or do you worry about a wide receiver? So I look forward to it. I love Chip Kelly's scheme. I love the fast pace.
Well, let's talk about the quarterback position there in Philadelphia real quickly before we get into our iPod shuffle. What do you look to come out of camp in that quarterback position? Do you think you're going to see any major changes? Do you think that we're going to see any anything of noteworthy happen in camp with the Philadelphia Eagles?
Well, I mean, Foles is our starting quarterback. There's no doubt about it, and he should be. The numbers he put up last year were – to say impressive is an understatement. And talking to our contact in Philly, like you talked about, Foles is looking better this year than he did last year so far. So the key is who's going to be our backup. You know, is it going to be Sanchez? And I think so. I look at number one being Foles, number two being Mark, and then that's the only battle we got. Who's going to be our number? Who's going to be the backup? And that's pretty much the only question for quarterback.
Right, and I it'd be interesting to see how that plays out. You say Foles is your quarterback, but Philadelphia is a very impatient crowd. What does Foles have to do to win the love of the brotherly city of brotherly love or whatever?
Well, he has. I mean, the reality is, in Philly right now, he is loved. But you're right. That could change tomorrow. We as Philadelphia fans are not player-friendly as far as the we love you when you're doing good, but we will boo you and hate you as soon as you throw an interception. So, but the reality of it is, Matt Barkley is not going to come in and start. Sanchez will be a starter. I think next year he's not going to be with us. He'll leave and be a starter again somewhere else. But you look at our quarterback status in Philly, and the only option we have is Foles.
Well, right now, that's who you've got to go with. You've got to go. You got to go with Foles, and you got to see what he can do. The thing again, and what I'm trying to say is that the Philadelphia Eagles, if he goes in and he loses one game, and that's it, they say, okay, well, we need to go with somebody else. So we'll see how that pans out. Well. Guys, it's that time of the day that we do every Saturday. It's called the iPod Shuffle, where we kind of dive in to the, I guess what we call it, the world of whack, crazy sports. It doesn't necessarily have to be funny. It doesn't have to be crazy. Just a hodgepodge of stories. Some of it might be sports related. Some of it may not be sports related as we get into the iPod Shuffle for June 28th, 2014. Welcome back to The Balance. It's the iPod Shuffle. We do this every Saturday for the last few minutes of the show. 9 minutes left on the clock here on today's show. And myself and that redneck from Philly going to kind of bring you through the iPod Shuffle. Some stories that you know, maybe not got all the headlines. But, you know, we'll get into different conversations about that. One of the we'll start this off with a bang, no pun intended, and you'll get that joke here in just a minute. Deshaun Jackson claims that alleged gang signs he flashes are just simply hand gestures, Kevin. Washington Redskins wide receiver Deshaun Jackson confronts his past and discovers how it has crept up into his present with an extensive and fascinating profile of the superstar athlete found in an upcoming issue of ESPN magazine. In the interview, Kevin, Jackson denies that ever being in a gang or ever having gang affiliations in the truest sense, but as known people that have been in gangs and acknowledges that he still associates with certain people, yet despite the allegation, he refuses to turn his back on his friends where he came from. I've always said you could take the boy out of the hood, but you can't take the hood out of the boy. So apparently, these gang signs that we see him flashing around aren't gang signs. In fact, they're just hand gestures, Kevin.
I was reading that article myself here earlier this morning for show prep, and you're right. I don't know. The culture in Philly has changed since he's left. Every player's there for voluntary workouts, and also, was it gang-related? Maybe not, but you're right. You can't take the hood out. You can take him out of the hood, but the hood's still in him. I'm glad he's gone. I hope he does well in Washington. Obviously not well when he plays us, but when he plays everybody else, I hope he does well. But I don't know. And of course, his mom is on his side.
That's my boy. That's my boy. Don't be talking about my boy. That's my baby boy.
Yeah. And you're right. He's supposedly staying loyal to where he came from and all that. And I understand it. I can appreciate it. But at the same token, you're a professional athlete now. Act it.
Well, and I guess we hear time and time and time again about society and the chances that some people aren't getting, and if they grow up in the hood or in life of crime, and that's because of the card that society gave them. But okay, NFL football gave them a way out. Okay, now you're out. Act like
exactly.
it. I agree with you 100%. Well, here's something else. Kevin Millar and Ryan Dempster ripped for wearing awful suits on MLB Tonight, Thursday night. Thursday on MLB Tonight, Greg Amster was joined on set by analysts Kevin Millar and Ryan Dempster. Both of the former players were wearing absolutely hideous suits, and numerous people let their feelings know about them on social media, including the future Hall of Famer Pedro Martinez and Minnesota Twins closer Glenn Perkins. And so Joe is the managing editor, and he was just sharing some tweets about that. So I don't know if you saw this, but I'm looking at this right now, and we've got a bright orange and a plaid suit that went out of style in 1975, I believe.
Well, you were talking about suits, and I was going to bring up Wiggins' suit by the NBA draft. You remember the movie with the Three Amigos in it?
Yes. Yes, I do, actually.
Look at Andrew. Look at Wiggins' suit that he wore to the draft. Look at the picture of the Three Amigos in that movie. The only thing he's missing is the hat.
I think you're right on that. All right. Here we go. Here's another one. Kansas woman charged with arson after allegedly lighting a fire to kill a spider. Now, this happened in Hutchinson, Kansas, just the other day. A Kansas woman is facing arson charges after she allegedly set a small fire in her home early on Friday morning while trying to kill a spider. According to the Hutchinson News, Jenny Griffith used a cigarette lighter to set some towels on fire to attempt to assassinate this spider. Five Hutchinson Fire Department units were able to extinguish the small fire at Griffith's half duplex. Firefighters found multiple points of origin for the fire, and Griffith was arrested and charged with aggravated arson because on the other half of the other half of the duplex was, in fact, occupied. No one was injured, and the structure only suffered light smoke damage. Note to self, do not try to kill a spider with flames. Are you there, Kevin?
Well, I've always thought of like throwing a shoe at a spider or something like that. I've never really thought about catching my house on fire, though.
We've only got time for a couple more. Hey, I tell you what, here's something that I think that the NFL is going to latch on to, or the NBA. Go play the KFC chicken bone necklaces. Already sold out. Limited run of 20 gold necklaces from Kentucky Fried Chicken went on sale Friday on June 27th. And it is, in fact, a finger-licking fashion statement, I guess. A limited run of 20 gold-plated KFC chicken bone necklaces have already sold out. Kentucky for Kentucky and jeweler Meg Carroll teamed up to create a finger-licking fashion piece. It's a small necklace in the shape of a chicken bone.
I guess I won't wear it, but I guess somebody's got to.
I'm just saying. You know, this is why we call it the iPod shuffle. All right, one more story. Go ahead, Kevin.
I say, did you see mentioning food that in Washington, there's actually a food truck that is selling their food, but the catch is their food is all weed laced.
And I'm glad you brought that up. That is a great segment into our next story. A Maryland woman allegedly served a side of marijuana with her order at Sonic. In Frederick, Maryland, a Maryland woman claims that when she ordered fries and chicken fingers, a Sonic in Frederick, she got a bag of marijuana on the side. When Carla McFarland opened up her order from the popular fast food franchise, there was a small bag of marijuana tucked in the container that was holding her fries. The hungry mother immediately told her 6-year-old daughter, stop eating your food. And you one of the real reasons why they're asking for more fries, Mommy. It is not because they want more fries. It's because they want more fries. Well, guys, that's going to do it. We've come to the end of the iPod Shuffle. Real quickly, Kevin Chapman, that redneck from Philly, you got 30 seconds for your rant. Go.
Well, you know, I never thought I'd be able to say that Tiger Woods missed the cut and is happy with it. He's taking, I guess, 3 weeks off now before he plays again, so we'll see. But the first time I've ever been on here and said Tiger Woods has missed the cut, and I didn't think I'd say it.
Well, there you go. Tiger Woods misses the cut. Well, guys, that's going to do it for us. My name's Tom Marquis, and you've been with myself and that redneck from Philly, Kevin Chapman. I'm El Presidente. My minions, you are officially relieved from duty. Remember, don't drink and drive. It isn't cool. I will see you, hopefully. I know we've been behind a little bit on the hot corner. I do apologize. A lot's been going on. But it is my intention that we do have a hot corner broadcast this week. My name is Saul Marquis, El Presidente. Stay safe out there, my minions. We'll see you for duty next Saturday right here on the Balance Radio Network.
Join us next week for The Balance. In the meantime, check us out on Twitter, T-Balance, or Facebook, The Balance, or online at www.thebalanceonline.com.